So let me just get set up here. I'd also like to pray, and so I encourage you just once again, just to bow your heads, close your eyes, and join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, you great is your faithfulness to us. We go through different seasons in our life, as we just sang as well, summer, winter, spring, autumn. Different times in our life, and I know that each one of us here today is at just a different season in their life. But no matter where we're at, every single morning, your mercies are fresh, they're new for us. Your faithfulness is such, Father, you never let us go. So Lord, I just pray as we come before you now, we read from your word, we hear from your word. I just ask, would you be merciful and gracious to us, Lord, and speak to our hearts? I don't know exactly where we're all at, but you do, Father. You know exactly where we're all at. So I just pray, Father, that your word, which is alive, which is dynamic, which is active, would speak to each one of my brothers and sisters here today. For your glory alone, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So we are going through a sermon series, an 8-part sermon series entitled Christian Living. And this is the 4th part today. It's entitled Keeping Ourselves Pure. We've seen how we are to resist the devil, that each and every one of us will go through temptations in our life. This was the first sermon, the first part. We are to resist the devil's schemes. And if we do, he will flee from us. We then looked at the importance of honoring the fact that God has a pattern of work and rest, and we are to keep the Sabbath day holy. We are to rest on that day. Last week, we looked at honoring God with our bodies. Today, we want to say keeping ourselves pure. So we're going to find ourselves today in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 to 22. There's a lot of twos in there, but I want to read actually for us the context. I don't only want to spend, this is where we'll camp out today, but I think it's important when we read the Bible to have the context of it. And so I'm going to find ourselves starting in verse 15. I'll read verse 15 and then go all the way down to verse 22. I'm going to read today in the NLT, the New Living Translation. So, work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. Avoid worthless, foolish talk that only leads to more godless behavior. This kind of talk spreads like cancer, as in the case of Hymenaeus and Philetus. They have left the path of truth, claiming that the resurrection of the dead has already occurred. In this way, they have turned some people away from the faith. But God's truth stands firm, like a foundation stone, with this inscription: the Lord knows those who are his, and all who belong to the Lord must turn away from evil. In a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver, and some are made of wood and clay. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions, and the cheap ones are for everyday use. If you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the Master to use you for every good work. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lusts. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. This is the word of the Lord. So, what I want to do is basically take a look from our text from two parts today. First part is, don't be led astray by false teaching. And then we're going to find out in the second part how we keep and are not led astray by false teaching, which is the second part, keeping ourselves pure. So let's take a look at the first part. Don't be led astray by false teaching. I want to read again 2 Timothy 2, 20-21a. In a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver, and some are made of wood and clay. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions. The cheap ones are for everyday use. Now, here's a note. The NLT says everyday use. A lot of translations will have it dishonorable use. So that's important to know as well. Many translations will say dishonorable. If you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. The Bible uses many different illustrations to what it means to follow God. But one of the most common illustrations throughout the Bible is one of a path or one of a road. So in Jeremiah 6 actually, God says through his prophet Jeremiah, ask for the ancient paths. And that means the path of faithful obedience by Moses and the prophets. Another illustration of the road, of the path that maybe we know, is when Jesus says it is the narrow path that leads to eternal life that you find by the small gate. Many are on the wide path that leads to destruction. Proverbs and Hebrews also talks about this. Proverbs 3 says, if you trust in the Lord, he will make your path straight. So we are to stay on this good, narrow, straight path. And the Bible says the word of the Lord is a lamp for that path. God's word is a lamp keeping you on that narrow path, that path of truth. Wide is the path that leads to destruction. Wide is the path when you get off that path of truth. When you, with the seed that is sown, is choked up by the deceitfulness of wealth. James 1 says that if you start following people down the wide path, you will also follow it. So as Christians, we are to walk down this narrow path, keeping to truth. Now, I say this because we need to have the context before we get to our verses. If I just started with these verses, we would have little idea of what we're talking about. Dishonorable, honorable utensils, what does that mean? But now that I gave you some of the context, we could have a better idea. Because Paul is repeating a theme that is within his both of his letters to Timothy, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, false teaching. He talks about it quite a few times. In 2 Timothy 4, he talks about it again. He says that in the end times, there will be people with itchy ears who just want to hear what they want to hear, and they will be led to the teaching that tells them this. So Paul is saying that in the church at that time, and he is telling Timothy, there were these two guys, right? These two guys which are pretty hard to pronounce, at least for a British guy like myself, Hymenaeus and Philetus. And Hymenaeus and Philetus are going around and they're telling people the resurrection has already taken place. And basically, as a result of that, some people have been led off the narrow, straight path. The verses said some people are off that path of truth now. Hymenaeus and Philetus have gone off that path, and those people who maybe secretly want to hear that truth, they have also gone off that path. They've been led astray. So now we have the context. Let's look at our text. Paul uses this illustration of utensils that are used in a house. What is a utensil? A utensil is some kind of tool or instrument. And so maybe we're thinking of a jar or a container or a bowl, that kind of thing. He says that some utensils are for everyday or dishonorable use, made of wood, made of clay, and some utensils are of gold and of silver. What does this mean? What is he talking about? Now we have the context, we can see. What Paul is basically saying is that people who push false teaching and those who secretly want to hear that false teaching, they are like an everyday dishonorable utensil. Now, I don't want to speculate too much about what that might be. But safe to say, in the first century, they did not have lovely flushing toilets. So I would imagine that Paul is saying they are like a chamber pot. That's a nice, polite way of saying a toilet. They're like a toilet. Those who push false teaching or those who have ears to hear it are like a dishonorable everyday utensil, like a toilet. But then he says that those who have ears to hear are those who have a gold utensil, a beautiful jar for pouring expensive wine, are those who stay on that path of truth. Now, in the first century, the people were being led astray by this false teaching that the resurrection had already taken place. Would we also have ears to hear this false teaching? I don't know, but I can say that in the IBC office, we do sometimes receive flyers which say, Jesus has been sighted in China. I am not going to go on a plane to China, as that kind of false teaching is clearly a bit silly. Maybe a few people may think, cool, okay, maybe. But most of us would not be led astray by that. The false teaching that is seductive, the false teaching that could begin to lead us astray, has a little bit of truth in it. There's a little bit of truth which makes it harder to dismiss. And secretly, we want it to be true. It appeals to our fleshly desires in some way. So what I'd like to do is to give us two false teachings that are prevalent in the global church today that we need to be careful that we are not led astray by. And that we don't become an everyday dishonorable utensil off that narrow, good, straight path. So let me show you two teachings which I think we need to be careful of. The first false teaching is the health and wealth or prosperity gospel. This is a false teaching that is very prevalent. Basically, it teaches it is your automatic divine right to health and wealth. So the more you pray, the richer you will get. The holier you are, the wealthier you are. The richer you are, the healthier you are. This is a false teaching that we can often see because the people who teach it are often very rich themselves with their mansions and their planes. We can forget about the godly men and women who have been living in poverty. We can forget about the missionaries. If you just pray hard enough, you will get rich. But this is a false teaching which has an idea of the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Spirit can just basically do what I want. I want this, and so I can manipulate the Holy Spirit into doing what I want. Whereas we know the Holy Spirit is a person who enables us to live surrendered lives according to what God wants for our lives. The Bible is very often, actually also in 2 Timothy, often we will get from the Bible that you will go through suffering in your life. Jesus warns his disciples, you will have trouble in this life. Romans also tells us, when you're going through suffering, rejoice in suffering. Rejoice in it. James says, consider it joy. Joy when you go through trials and tribulations. We're going to have suffering. We're going to have problems and hardships in this life. If you don't have a theology of suffering, a right understanding of it, the fact that God will often use trouble as an agent in your life, then you will come as quite a shock to discover it when you're going through hardships, as you'll have little theology to be able to cope with it. Do not be led astray by the false teaching of the prosperity gospel. Second false teaching that can easily creep into the church is this one. You're basically a good person. This can easily get into the church because naturally we are drawn to this good and bad scale. We like that very much. Our default position is very often works-based gospel. If I do a lot of good stuff, I've got some credit. So you can identify this false teaching because there is a de-emphasis on sin and repentance. You will probably not hear very much about sin or repentance. You'll hear a lot about being positive, thinking positive. You're a positive person. You're a good person. If you look very deep within yourself, and you will find that basically you're good. But if that is the case, why will we need a savior to save us? Romans 3 says, there is no one who is good. No, not one. All have turned aside. These teachings can easily creep in because there's something in there that we want to be true. But a way to identify it is often to read the context of Scripture. The reason why people are led astray by false teaching is often the teaching takes a verse and then applies it to a different context. It's taken out of the context. When you read the Bible, read the whole chapter, read before and after to understand what is the author saying. That can help us. But we should be aware that there will be false teachers. So especially if you are a new Christian, you could easily be led astray. So we need discernment. We need good teaching, and we need to be able to ask other people, listen, I'm not sure about this person. What do you think? Peter warns us that this can be the case. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, Peter says this, but there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who brought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. So we don't want to be one of these dishonorable everyday utensils on the wide path. And we actually only have two choices. There is no choice for you and me to kind of be like a middle-of-the-road utensil, like a knife or a fork or something like that. You just have, there's two choices. You're on the narrow path or the wide path. You're going to be an honorable utensil or a dishonorable utensil. It's heaven or hell. Jesus, the devil. So Paul tells us how to stay on that narrow path, how to be an honorable utensil. In verse 21, he says this, if you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. So we have to keep ourselves pure. That's what it means to live as a Christian. How should I live? Well, I should live in a way that is not being led astray by false teaching, by keeping myself pure. Let's take a look at that. 2 Timothy 2, verses 22, tells us this. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lusts. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. I think we understand what pure means, right? This water was not taken from an underground Norwegian lake that was untouched for hundreds of years. I got this from a bucket in my garden that accumulates rainwater. And I noticed, you might be able to see, some mosquito larvae actually in the water. So I'm not going to drink this water. This water is contaminated water. Being pure means not putting anything into our bodies which would contaminate them, which means sin. Being pure means free from sin, free from putting anything or seeing anything that into our bodies, into ourselves, that is going to contaminate it. In his first letter to Timothy, Paul repeats some of what he says from our text, and he shows us, You are easily led astray to meaningless talk, to irreverent babble, to false teaching when you don't guard your heart and keep yourself pure. Let me just make that point. 1 Timothy 1 verses 5 to 7 says this. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Some have departed from these and have turned to meaningless talk. They want to be teachers of the law, but they do not know what they're talking about or what they so confidently affirm. So it makes perfect sense that Paul again is emphasizing in our text, keep yourself pure. Keep yourself pure. So how do we keep ourselves pure? Three things, very practically. We want to think practically. Three things straight out of the text. I'm just going straight from the text. First thing, run from anything that stimulates youthful lusts. Basically, run from anything that you secretly feel a little bit guilty about, and you know I shouldn't be doing this. So stop looking at pornography if you're looking at pornography. Now, I have mentioned this several times in the last weeks, but the statistic out there is frightening, that 51% of committed Christians admit they struggle with pornography. So if you don't struggle with it, thank God. But the probability is you know somebody who does. And one of the reasons why so many young men are struggling and are passive in the global church is that they are under the grip of addiction. They are in spiritual bondage. If that is you today, if I'm speaking directly to you today, the answer, first of all, humble yourself. That's the first answer. Humble yourself and admit your life is powerless. Your life is unmanageable. You cannot manage it because of this. Then seek out a trusted friend. Seek out somebody where you can bring what is done in the dark into the light. So much of what the devil is trying to do in our lives is isolate you, get you alone, get it in the darkness. The answer, bring it out into the light. Surrender yourself before the Lord. Another thing that we should run from that will stimulate youthful lusts is to stop looking at worthless stuff. And I imagine we're all pretty guilty here, and I would also include myself. YouTube is a wonderful invention for manuals. You don't have to look at a manual anymore. It's like, how do I do this? I don't know. Go on YouTube, 2 minutes. Woo, cool. Now I know how to do it. But it is addictive. Those AI algorithms get you every time. And the clickbait videos, the hundreds of clickbait videos are just waiting to be watched. You know what I mean, right? You'll never believe what happened next to this guy. Cool. I want to know what happened next to that guy. Of course, who doesn't want to know what happened to that guy? Try out this weird trick to increase your earning potential. It's evil. They get you. They get you, those guys. Here are the top 8 things that you need to know. I am a sucker for that. 8 things, lists, I'm there, whatever it is. Every single time they can get you. But let me ask you a question. Have you ever felt like worshiping God after spending an hour on YouTube? No way. No way. You've watched some cat do some stupid trick. Now I'm going to open up my Bible and read that. No way. There is no way that the watching YouTube gets us on fire for the Lord. So run from it. If you have a problem like this, and I imagine that a number of us do, here's a psalm, here's a verse for us to memorize. Here's a verse for us to take hold of, memorize, and pray out. This one. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. The psalmist is writing thousands of years ago, way before the invention of the computer, but they were still dealing with these problems back then. They were still being distracted. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. It's all about orientation. Time and time again, it's about orientation. What am I orientating myself towards? And you have some say in that. Last thing that we should run, a youthful lust that we should run from is run from lusting after recognition. Stop secretly dreaming that you're going to be famous and we all suddenly recognize how awesome you are in singing, sport, business, being a Christian, whatever it is, just genuinely being awesome. Suddenly, you win the prize. You imagine this dreaming, daydreaming. You wow the crowd. You dream of this. Youthful lusts that we can all slip into, that we can all just get into something. But you see, we stopped being an effective servant of Jesus when this happens. The devil is always trying to distract you, get you off your game. The devil is very happy with sleepy, comatose Christians who are just kind of not really participating. Run from youthful lusts. Next one. Pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. The key word there is pursue. Go after that. Run from youthful lusts, but go after righteous living. So we need to develop in our lives as Christians holy habits. What habits do you have? We all have habits, routines in our life. Do you have holy habits? When I got sober from alcoholism, I was strictly told that I needed to develop different habits in my life to stop me from going down that ancient, well-known path that led to drinking. I needed to change things up. So the first thing is I needed to stop going to the local pub. Then I needed to get different habits. First habit, every morning, first thing, on your knees, start praying. Last thing at night, on your knees, thank God for a sober day. Next little habit, go to a Bible study. Go to church. Doesn't matter if you feel like it or not. Don't act what you feel like or not. Just do it. Start journaling 5 minutes every day. Start getting honest about how you feel, James. These little holy habits will help guard your heart and keep yourself pure. And it worked. It worked. You can live a spontaneous, free life and also have habits throughout the day that keep your mind orientated towards the Lord. Keep yourself pure so nothing will contaminate it. That's how we are to live. I want to give us a quote. I had to, but it's a wonderful, wonderful quote by a guy called J.C. Ryle, which I'd like to share with us today. So J.C. Ryle was a 19th century British bishop, and he says this about forming holy habits. What young men will be, in all probability, depends on what they are now. Why do I say all this? I say it because habits are hard to break. Isn't that true? It's just natural. This is where I sit. Even in church, this is where I sit. It's just a habit. They're hard to break. Habits have long roots. And if sin is allowed to make its home in your heart, it will not be evicted at your command. Habit becomes second nature. And its chains are like a threefold cord which is not quickly broken. Habits, like trees, are strengthened by age. A child can bend an oak when it's still a young sapling, but 100 men cannot root it up when it's a full-grown tree. Habits of good or habits of evil are growing stronger in your heart each day. Every day, you're either getting nearer to God or further away. Every year that you continue to be unrepentant, the wall of division between you and heaven becomes higher and thicker. The gulf to be crossed becomes deeper and broader. Be afraid of the hardening effect of lingering in sin day after day. Now is the time to do something about it. They can be broken. Those old habits can be broken. The power of the Holy Spirit can break any habit in your life. And you can be intentional about forming small habits as well. I'd like to give us one habit that I think is really good that will help us to pursue righteous living. Begin to apply God's word. And I've mentioned that before, but I will mention it a number of times. It is very easy for us as Christians to put our dutiful hat on, read the chapter or two of the Bible, then put it back and completely forget what we've just read. We are not to do that. Your life will change and your life will get holier if you apply God's word. It needs to go from here to there, head to heart. And that works often by just writing out the verse, writing it out, underlining, and just start thinking about it. You don't have to have an ABC of what it's all going to look like, but you could just think about that verse. We can all do that. And then what happens? Psalm 1 is a promise. You start meditating and thinking about this verse. Slowly, God's word, which is alive and active, begins to change. The Bible also promises us this. Psalm 119, verse 9, tells us this. You want to keep pure. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. Not by reading your word. Not by knowing it all up here. I know a lot of Bible verses. No, by living according to it. That means you've got to apply it. We have to apply it. Last one. Last thing from the text. Keeping ourselves pure. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. So just at the end, let me just say something very briefly about it. It is not about you or me grinding our teeth trying to stay pure alone. It's tough to do that. There is an element where I will stand before the Lord and give account of my actions. But you're in a community now. What we all need is other Christians who also genuinely desire to live a pure, godly life. What you will find, the longer you're a Christian, some people say they believe in God. They believe in God, but their hearts have not yet been truly captured by the Father's love for them. They have not yet been swept off their feet knowing what Jesus has done for them. So for that reason, they're a little bit awkward talking about God. They're a little bit embarrassed. They're very happy to talk about worldly stuff. Barbecues, movies, music. But start talking about spiritual matters, things get a little bit uneasy. They have not yet experienced the Father's love and been revolutionarily changed by it. If you want to call on the Lord with pure hearts, find a band of brothers and sisters, just a few other people who are serious about living for Jesus. And enjoy their companionship, because you will be able to spur one another on. How are you doing with this? You can do it. That's how we are to live with one another. Encouraging, correcting, building one another up. So how should we live? This is the question we're asking ourselves. How should we live as Christians? Today, we've seen this. Do not be led astray by false teaching. Instead, keep yourself pure. Keeping ourselves pure means this. Running from youthful lusts. Developing holy habits. And finding some other Christians who are also on fire for Jesus. It helps so much. Then you can actually enjoy talking about him and what he's done for you. I want to end with a promise from Jesus in his Beatitudes. Jesus promises us this. This is what happens if we keep ourselves pure. Matthew 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. So Christians, let's keep ourselves pure. Let me pray for us now. Let's close our eyes and let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, it's not easy in this world that does not know you to keep ourselves pure. It's easy to get contaminated, to put things into our bodies, to see things which are not clean, which are not holy. Father, would you keep us on that straight, narrow, ancient path which leads to you? Hold us there, Father. Hold us fast to the cross. I just pray for each and every one of my brothers and sisters. I pray for myself, Father, that you would help us to keep ourselves pure, to live a holy life, to live a clean life for you. In the name of your Son, Jesus, I pray this. Amen.